You have heard me discuss my relationship with Josh Arnold for some time. The reason I advocate that you give Josh a call is simple. Trust and results. Josh has seen it all when it comes to economic and market conditions. As has been said, through all of our relationship, past results do not guarantee future returns. And while that is true, Josh can make sure that your retirement objectives match your investments. You can understand that Josh will make sure you are not paying more in fees than you are seeing in returns. Yes, that is more common than you would like to think. Do yourself a favor and have a booking with Josh for the 48-minute free evaluation. This is a no-obligation meeting. Call Josh at 952-925-5608. You will be glad that you did.
Investment services offered by Josh Arnold Investment Consultant, LLC, a security investment advisor. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. All investments involve risk. All comments and opinions are Josh Arnold's and do not constitute investment advice.
Patrick Royce is a paid endorser.
Oh, it's fun. Crazy. It's painful, but it's wonderful.
What is the name?
It's Royce Unchained.
All right, Patrick Royce, what you got for us today?
Well, I'm working on a Jack Gordon obit column. This is we're noon on Tuesday here, and Jack died 27th, whenever the heck that was. What day was that? And at age 94, I believe, but might have been 93. I got to check that. And I'm not going to talk about what's in the column, but the thought I had was all these Canadian boys playing in the NHL in the 70s, there was no prank. They were making no money. There was no prank too juvenile for these guys. I mean, they were a bunch of fourth graders when it came to pulling stuff on each other. They basically all had to have jobs. They had to go home and chop down trees or something in the winter and the summer to make a living. They were making no money. They traveled like they had the coach and Doc Rose were the only members of their traveling party. I don't think Dick Dillman ever took a road trip, did he? Except for the
I don't even know.
Except for the playoffs, when they were in the playoffs, he probably went. But it was such a simple organization, and to amuse themselves, they were, you know, just do idiotic juvenile.
And did Jack
stuff.
Replace Wren?
Wren, yes. Okay. But Wren hired him.
Okay.
Which would, you know, traditionally, we've talked about this forever. They always hire the opposite. You know, if you got a crazy hard nosed guy, then you get the player's coach. And you know, at least in the old days. Now most of them are players' coaches, but Wren hired his own opposite when he hired Jack Gordon. Right, okay. Wren was still the general manager and hired him. Mm-hmm. Who basically he wanted to hire somebody who wasn't as big a jackass as he was. You know?
And Wren was crazy.
Oh, he was. He was completely nuts. Louis told me that, or read one of them. I went to the old reliable.
Oh, you got it. You've got to. They know everything.
Reading Louis. Yeah. That Wren would, when he got really mad, he'd turn around with his arms folded, facing the crowd, and they'd say, somebody say, Wren, you're not watching the game. He says, I know what's going to happen. They're going to score the other team. He would badmouth his team. And, and then, of course, Jack Gordon was the quietest guy of all time. So it was quite a contrast. Jack living here for the last 8 years.
I got your note.
Nobody knew it.
I had no idea he was still alive.
He went to Vancouver, stayed out. And after he was done working for them, he and his wife stayed out there for years. But they moved back here in 2014 because of grandkids and great-grandkids and stuff.
Wow.
But nobody knew he was around.
No.
He never went to any hockey reunions or anything like that. He just lived his life, you know. I guess he stayed in Vancouver and played golf for years. And then when his golf buddy, he couldn't play anymore, and his golf buddies all died. So he came back to hang out with the grandkids. But I haven't looked even yet, but tenure, number of games. He became the GM. So after, I think he coached about 4 years, right? And then became the GM. He replaced Wren. He replaced Wren as the GM.
Mm-hmm.
And when they fired Wren. And Louis replaced him. You know, Louis, when Louis took over, it was Gordon. But Gordon being the GM was kind of like being the GM for, you know, Terry Ryan being the GM after the Twins stopped spending money. Because, you know, he had to go through the 70s when they were cutting salary down to nothing, right? To save money, the original owners. That was before your time.
So Jack coached 17 games in 73-74. Here's what's weird then. He came back the next season and coached 38 games and then was done.
That's all he coached?
So he coached 289 games.
Okay, yeah.
Because he started as the North Stars head coach in 70-71 and three full seasons, 78 games each season.
So Ryan must have brought him in a couple of times to replace. He must have brought him in as assistant GM or something.
Unless he got sick. And
yeah, I haven't done the whole research. I got a bunch of clips laying on my desk that somebody found. So I still got to work on it. I still got to work on the thing. But
the old clip files are the greatest.
But my trouble is if somebody gives me an entire page, I end up reading the stories about who won the Pine to Palm Golf Tournament or some damn thing. Because the way they slap those. I just love the way they slap those old papers together that, okay, there's a hole down here on the bottom front page.
It's the damnedest thing.
There's four graphs and it'll be, you know, some guy in Grand Marais caught a fish or something.
Yep, and it'll just be at the bottom of the cover.
Right? Just slapped it right in.
And the other thing, too,
St. Paul was the worst. We were worse. Our early years were worse, man. It was unbelievable.
The size of those papers, too, is the unbelievable thing. The broadsheet, it was, like now, you think, why the hell is this thing so big?
Yeah, it is. Well, it was eight columns, but, you know, I mean, it was, you know, now it's six, you know, it was eight columns and they are gigantic, but I remember my worst battle with Ken Murphy was the sports editor, and Murph was set in his ways, to say the least. He died in 70. I replaced him, which was the biggest fiasco of all time. But when they played a doubleheader, and they played a lot of them back then, the beat guy, Arnold Gaethel, would write two separate game stories. Mm-hmm. And so we would have with Murph, they would go different places on the page. There would be like up here, Twins, and then down here. And I said, Murph, you can't have a story that you're saying this was the impact of the afternoon game or the first game, because it was they weren't split back then. They played them. And then have this. Then have everything that happened then refuted in the second game. You can't do it this way. You got to have an overall lead, and then they got to be packaged together. And we'd scream at each other, just do it. We've always done it this way. Murph with his
cigar. That's the old newspaper thing
with his cigar, man. Because this was, you know. So it would. I remember once we had it up here. Twins beat Yankees, or then down here we had Yankees beat Twins. later in the second game, and I'd just go crazy. I'd go crazy. The all-timer, though, as I was in the slot on the Saturday for the U.S. Open, that shows you how the manpower was back then, because I was a young guy who was not a, everybody was a desk guy then.
You know,
you were both, but I was a high school guy. Mm-hmm. But I was the makeup guy, and Tony Jacklin was winning 1970. Was winning the U.S. Open by a huge amount, and one of the big stories out there was how long it was taking to play, because they had the way the course was set up. Their par threes, they would just wait for weeks to hit their next shot. I mean, it was like part of the story was, and we had a picture of Tony was sitting on his golf clubs at the back of the tee, and there was like 12 guys on the tee. You know, there was like these groups were all there, and Tony was sitting there having a heater, sitting on his bag, waiting 30 minutes to hit his shot or 40 minutes to hit his shot. And it was a great picture of Tony was like running away with it. He was going to win, and I blew it up. I mean, the front page, it's probably five columns. This is an eight column page, probably 5 by 12, you know, but okay. at least half of the front page. And they'd never done anything like that in their life. And Murph went nuts. He came in after he was done writing, he came in to make sure we took proper care of his prose, which would be describing every shot that some guy hit who was, you know, there'd be one quote and there'd be,
yeah, right.
Know, he hit a 4-iron, 8 feet and blah, blah, blah. And he saw that and he went crazy. And then, but it was too late to do anything, you know. So then the next day he got out there and he had all these people tell him, hey, Murph, that was a great looking front page. And Murph was taking bows the next day for his clever idea to do it. He was a great guy, but he was
revolutionizing the newspaper business at the time.
That's one great thing about being in it as long as I do those. Because, you know, guys that were in their 60s,
right,
when I was in my 20s.
Right.
And the way they went about their business compared to us.
The business itself. I mean, when I started, it was.
Who needs quotes?
Yeah.
Know?
But I mean, the personalities of people.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was. George Edmund was a legendary old guy, but George liked his cocktails. He was the old editor, and he would apparently had a key to the Lexington bar. He lived up the street from the Lexington, so if he was thirsty at 2 in the morning, he'd go down and have a few cocktails.
It's a good plan.
Yeah. And they had a semi-spittoon in there in case George was older and in case he got ill. And one day, Bob Fowler and I couldn't take it. There was fruit flies and stuff around, you know. And Fowler and I picked it up with, like, rags and took it down and threw it in one of these big dumpsters down there. George quit about 3 days later. He had no place to
do whatever he was.
That ended his career, man. But the old-timers were just the greatest. They were crusty old.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so Hank Keyboard, the outdoor guy. Fantastic guy, greatest guy ever, cleanest copy ever written. But on payday, which was every other Friday, he was like the rest of us. He'd go to Luigi's, pay off his bill, and then, you know, and then cash his check and take it home to mom. But he'd get about six times a year, he'd get hammered. And we were all in there, and we were like, there was this whole collection of young guys. Nine of us got hired in a 2-year period. We were all 28, you know.
Right.
All in our 20s. And he'd get hammered and tell us how useless we were and how we were never going to make it in the business. And then the next time you'd see him, hey, Hank, how you doing? But every month or every 6 weeks, he'd be in there. You know, and I'd say, somebody'd call over from there and say, how many you need? You know, it's 5, 10 to 1. And he'd say, well, you better look out. Hank's here tonight. He's letting his grudges go. So
that's one of the great things about the business.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The people who hold up grudges until they're drunk and then disperse their feelings. Right.
Oh, God, he was funny. He was the guy that Don Reilly, I guess he called on a Saturday morning from some damn place from the duck hunting opener. And for some reason, Reilly, now this is 20 years, 10, 15 years before I was working, I worked there. This is, you know, probably in the 50s. But they were hunting bluebills. And the duck hunting opener was bluebills. And Reilly took the dictation and typed bluegill, which, you know, was a fish instead of a duck, through the whole thing. The next day's paper, our cracked desk, didn't catch it. And Hank's story is legendary, is that flocks of bluegills were flying in and stuff. And he's screaming at Reilly, and Reilly saying, fish, ducks, who gives a damn?
Disagree at all.
Who gives a duck? Damn, Hank.
Oh.
Anyway, that got me thinking of, the old hockey players who that thought these pranks were, these fourth grade pranks were hilarious.
So I found this, Pat. So November 20th, there's an AP story, 1973. Jack Gordon, citing a case of nerves, stepped down as coach of the North Stars and was replaced by Parker McDonald.
Oh, yeah.
He was 46 at the time. So, but then he came back. So he stepped down at that point, but then came back the next year to coach, like, as I told you, 38 games.
And was when Wren was still there then. Because Wren was there when Parker coached. Yeah, Wren was still there when Parker coached.
So he must have been
coached.
The GM.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, I can tell you who induced his nerves.
Wren?
Wren.
who said, I was very surprised when Jack brought his decision to my office.
Okay, so Jack stayed as a what? Just, they probably didn't keep him on the payroll back then. And then they brought him back when they fired Parker?
No, it says here he remained with the organization with a two-year contract that expires after the 74-75 season. He then coached 38 games in that year, and then I think, to your point, took over as GM after that. Mm-hmm. So he's still around for a while.
Was he who was the coach for the Montreal series then? Was that still Wren? When they, the series when they...
upset him?
Yeah, when they became they didn't upset them, but they became the first team to beat one of the.
Well, I think that was 79-80, right?
No. Teddy Hampson game.
Early
70s. Was that 72?
That was Wren then. Yeah,
it was still Wren.
Yeah,
okay. I thought it was Gordon. So okay.
I think that was
so. Wren. Gordon came in here as kind of an assistant to Wren.
He must
apparently,
have. Yeah.
I'll have to find that. Yeah. I thought he came in as a
nerves
came in the ring.
I can't believe a hockey coach would step down because of nerves.
No, well. The reason he had nerves is he kept everything inside him. He was not, like most of them, right. He wasn't screaming to the high heavens. That he was a fedora guy, though.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, he was a
like
fedora.
Like Ike?
Old guy, yeah.
I love the old fedora
look. Fedora-like. Yeah, Marouche had a, you know, whatever the hell.
Blackhawks coach had one. Was it Billy Ray?
Yeah, most of them did back then. Okay. Billy Ray, yeah. What, who was, I think it was Ike's. Ike was going to wear some other kind of a hat, and the wife got him to wear the fedora.
Oh,
I think
okay.
That was it. Ike's still with us?
Yeah.
What a great guy. He's you know, he always came off as the quiet, gentlemanly type, but he's a funny guy, man. And, you know, two-time Olympic goalie and all that good stuff. So
yeah, because he played for, was it the first state high school hockey tournament in 45? He was the goaltender for Eveleth, is that right?
Yeah, Eveleth was when they beat everybody.
But that was the first tournament.
Yeah, well, he went to Michigan because they were giving out scholarships, and then Mayasich became the first guy that the Gophers gave a scholarship to. They decided they couldn't let Mayasich go to Michigan because he was going to go to Michigan just like the rest of those Eveleth guys did. Yeah,
interesting.
The Gophers weren't giving out any kind of hockey scholarships, you know, and Michigan was. That's why they had. You know, you look through the early years, the year that RPI won it and they beat us in the final, 70-54, I think. They, you know, the tournament was always at Broadmoor, and there were four teams invited.
Yeah.
You were invited. Okay. You know, right. Two from the east, two from the west.
Right.
And Michigan, RPI beating Michigan, basically, I saw these stories. I was looking at, looking back at something, I'm not sure why. But the big story that Dick Gordon, remember Dick Flask Gordon, the great guy, Dick Gordon, great guy, called Flask because Dick had like his toddies, but he was a great guy. And, but Dick was writing in the Star, he wrote for the Star story advancing it was the West. The East was such feeble opposition that the West was starting to, they were started talking about the hockey Final Four being two teams from Canada, college teams from Canada, and two teams from the West. They were going to get rid of the Eastern teams because they wouldn't make up. They were such poor competition. And then our RPI upset this Michigan team that was, I mean, was gigantic favorites. And then the Gophers, I can't remember who the Gophers had beaten, but the Gophers, then they beat the Gophers in the finals in a big upset, too. And that kind of saved the concept of 2-2, but the hockey tournament was, they could have had it at Aldridge Arena, you know. I mean, it was nothing.
Well, yeah, and throughout the country, how many teams even were there actually playing?
I think
playing?
There were 30. Yeah,
oh, there
like
were?
That.
Okay.
28 or 30, yeah.
Speaking of college sports.
Yes. Unbelievable. I mean, I heard this rumor a year ago, and you thought, really? Would they really have the guts to do this? And here's, I think I said this today, or maybe my thought is, okay, football, fine.
Right.
What about having to send the women's cross-country team out there? What about having the men's, you know, which, you know, any one of the men's wrestlers out there or something, you know? I mean, what are the costs of sending teams to L.A. and back?
Football has to break off, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Like, I just don't think this is sustainable to treat it like every other sport.
No, the conference should. The conferences in basketball work, you know?
Yes.
The Big 10, Big 14, whatever it is, they work. You don't need to. They should just set up the three super football conferences and play football separately.
Yes.
Don't you think?
Absolutely.
I mean, they're going to suffer for this thing for all of mankind, for God's sakes.
I just don't understand why we're trying to incorporate what really is still sort of college sports with what is clearly a pro sport.
Yes, yeah. I mean, Gophers volley, Big Ten's already the best volleyball country. They don't need to go. They play UCLA and Southern Cal in non-conference meets and stuff, but they don't have to look at their schedule and say, God, we got to go out there. I mean, they're probably good to go out there, but in the middle of, I don't know. It's, the football is a completely separate entity, and it should be treated as thus, right?
And they're going to have to start, I think, paying more kids. Like, this whole thing, when you're making the billions, they're going to make billions here. Mm-hmm. I just don't see how you continue to try and sell yourself as anything less than a pro sport.
And then you got the Gophers who... The players are forming their own NILs here, you know.
Yep.
While down south, Tennessee's got a $2 million NIL for a freshman quarterback, you know.
Right.
So football is the source of all the – I mean, the NCAA would be better off if it didn't have any dealings with football, right? Because they make all their money off the basketball tournament. Anyway, they don't make none of this is the NCAA's money,
right?
So, yeah, I think maybe eventually they will be separate. Somebody told me that when you look at the finances at the U, when they try to tell you which sports are making money and which aren't, they give all the TV money to football. All the money is listed under all the TV. All the money is listed under football.
Yep.
Even though volleyball is now becoming valued programming for the Big Ten Network, and of course basketball is the source of most schools' money. What they get from the NCAA, but
football gets credited with the lump sum of the television money.
Yes, football. That's, whenever they say football is profitable, making all this money, they get all the TV money. Because I guess, but Fox and does Fox have, Fox does Big Ten basketball too, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. I get confused.
And they get first dibs on the best Big Ten football games, but ESPN still has a sub agreement too, so they do get some games.
How long is that going to last, though?
Since I don't
they're
know.
Now,
yeah, it
they're
might.
Now, I mean, Fox.
It might blow
the,
up.
Fox is the one that set up this deal. I mean, not Kevin Warren. It was Fox.
Right.
Fox.
And
says,
ESPN wrestled the SEC away from CBS, right?
Yeah.
So that's going to be their big college.
Yeah. Well, that is their. That's why SEC baseball is big. It's programming. It's spring and it's post basketball season programming for April and May and June. They can put a game on TV and there'll be a crowd there and people will, then they can get a, what, 0.6 share and be right. happy.
So. Right.
Yeah, I don't know. As an old guy, you pretty much just have to concede that it's any magic or any tradition or anything of football no longer. I mean, it's all back there. It's a nice memory, but there's
right.
this idea of running out onto the field and boy, here we are. It's a couple of pro teams playing.
Yeah, so. It's now a second pro league.
Plus,
for sure.
You got two more years to win the West, right? You got two more years to win
for two more years before they.
And then, unless you get more, you got a 16-team conference.
Right.
So, hey, we finished seventh this year. We're damn happy, right? You know. What are the odds of you ever being in the one of the two champions? Everybody dreams now. I get these people who are saying, well, you can have the four super conferences and then you just divide them into the divisions and you get the eight. They ain't dividing them into divisions, fella. This is it. They want Ohio State and Southern Cal to play as often as possible. They're not going to put them in different divisions, for God's sakes.
Yeah. Well, and we're going to end up with what? Three conferences? Three super
Could
conferences?
Be three. Could be three.
SEC will have theirs, and they're going to get more teams. Big Ten will do the same.
I think the SEC is going after the ACC, don't you?
Yes.
Clemson, Miami.
So what would the third conference be?
Conglomeration of the Pac-12 and the Big 12, I think.
Okay.
Wouldn't that be kind of a Western? But it would be a B-squad conference. If you take the remnants of the SEC and the Big Ten are – you're going to have a third super conference that's going to be the backup super conference.
Yeah, because I think Kansas wants in the Big Ten, right? Didn't I see that a couple days ago?
We want them for foot. I mean, they got basketball.
The Gophers do so they can kick their ass.
They got basketball, but.
No, but in football.
Oregon's going to go someplace.
Yeah.
Phil Knight is not going to.
You think Phil's not going to sit
Phil's
there?
Phil's not going to be pumping billions and billions into college athletics. And then have his guys be orphans out there playing their big game being against Stanford or something. So, Phil will.
Yeah, Stanford.
The rumor, I was last week, and I don't even know if this was Arizona State, Colorado, and Utah going to the Big 12.
Okay.
And Oregon and Washington going to the Big 10, leaving Stanford, Cal, Washington State, and Oregon State to play football, get San Diego. And
coming up next on CBS Sports Network, which no one watches,
if the 10 stay together, they're going to get San Diego, supposedly. But, you know, that'll be 11. So, but it's amazing. And, there's geography still to the Southeastern Conference, the SEC. I mean, you still got geography. Right. Texas and Oklahoma are still south, right?
Right.
But this is
10.
This is.
Hey, you got Rutgers.
Yeah.
How about UCLA Rutgers in like.
God, I bet they're.
Volleyball.
Now they say that's the New York market, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, right. There's a boy. As I said, whenever I've been in New York, you just got people walking down the street saying, how do you think Rutgers is going to do Sunday against Temple? I think it's going to be Saturday. It's going to be a pretty big game. You know?
There are probably more Gophers and Wolverine bars in Manhattan than there are Rutgers bars.
Yes, there is. No, nobody cares. But, Delaney can say this is his vision, but in retrospect, I bet they wish they didn't have him. Don't you think? They would wish they didn't.
It depends on if they actually got more carriage out there.
Here's going to be the deal, though. When do Ohio State and Michigan and Southern Cal and UCLA say they want more than the Gophers?
Yeah,
they want
that's
more.
Great.
They
I like
want,
it.
They want more than the.
Then, yep.
Yeah. Or they're going to go play with Alabama and they're going to have their own super conference for even more money.
Purdue. Indiana, Minnesota.
Yeah.
There's a.
They might. Iowa, you know.
Yeah.
They
carry the.
Iowa wins, but they don't.
Right.
They don't. Wisconsin might make the power league.
Football wise, you're right, though.
Yeah. Yeah. They're going to say, we want more money. You know, we're the ones that, when we play, we get a 4 share, and when you play, we get a 1.5 share.
Yep.
You know? So.
And we play the best time slots. Yeah, you're right.
Well, they're going to have four games a day. They're going to have 11, 2:30.
Right through the night.
6, 5:30, 6, 11, 2:30, 6, and 9:30. They're going to have.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have UCLA. And that's why they probably need more West Coast teams to make this work. And I think Oregon for sure, right?
Yes.
The big battle is going to be Notre Dame. I think, you know, that Notre Dame makes $20 million a year or something from
NBC.
That's chump change. They're gonna have to go to a conference, don't you think?
Yeah, because I think it's going to get too enticing not to.
Yeah, and they're going to be the big prize, too. You know,
and the Big Ten better get them.
Which one of these schools can be like...
That's a great point, though.
Which one of these schools can be like Brooks Koepka going to the LIV?
Right.
Say, you know, go to the ACC, go to the Big Ten.
Right.
Go to the SEC, Notre Dame, and say, we want $250 million to join your league.
Mm-hmm.
And then get our cut, you know. Mm-hmm. But we want to...
Yeah.
The bidding starts as to who wants our league, and then it would be actually Fox, ESPN, and God knows who would be bidding to get Notre Dame in the league, and Notre Dame keeps it all. How's that, you know, what's to prevent that from happening?
Zero.
Yeah. I mean, nice.
It actually makes some sense.
Independent school with a loose affiliation with the ACC and no affiliation in football.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hmm.
But, yeah, the NCAA just needs to be ousted from this that part of the process. They're unnecessary. They're going to get in the way because they always get in the way.
Well, Southern Cal was here for Coach Brew, right? Coach Brew gave them a decent game,
yep.
And then he got beat by South Dakota, right? Or was it the week after they played? South Dakota beat him. And then they played Southern Cal for about 2.5 quarters. They competed with them.
And then the next year they opened with Jerry Kill,
Kill, yeah. And they went out there and hung in there for a while. I mean, Southern Cal has not been Southern Cal for a long time.
Right.
You know what else I love? Southern Cal doesn't like to be called Southern Cal. And everybody changes it in the copy. They're Southern Cal. That's the one tradition we can keep. Southern Cal.
Why do they not
not want to be Southern Cal? They want Southern California University. Remember Ohio?
I've always loved that one.
Remember Ohio U?
Yes.
When they came here, they just wanted to be Ohio. They didn't want U. And I was writing the Bobcats. They beat Bass here with the I think Frank Solich might have been a coach way back then.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, they were running. Who was it? They were running kind of an option offense, and we had some trouble. But I remember their SID came down and told us, like in the start of the second half, he said, we appreciate it if you just referred to us Ohio, you know, instead of Ohio U. And I remember saying, hell. Now I got to go back and put a bleep load of U's in this copy. I wish you hadn't done that. You've created all this work for me. But now that you're dictating that I should, now I got to go put a bunch of U's back in.
That's always been my favorite thing. When they try and tell you, you know, what you should call them.
Yeah. Yeah. But Southern Cal is a big deal. It's they don't like being called Southern Cal. That's a brand, you know.
Yes.
Southern Cal.
Yes.
You know? It was, I tell you, though, I wrote about this the other day. The Rose Bowl, man, when they were there, and I think I was covered 5 or 6, and they were there 2/3 of the time. I had to see them in at least 4 Rose Bowls, I think. Man, they came out. The place shivered, man. They got the horse. They got all the players. They got the fight song, fight on, and mm-hmm. they got the whole thing. And, I mean, the Big Ten team had come out, and... You know, like the Iowegians were there. The crowd was half Iowa, and, you know, a lot of times it'd be, you know, half Big Ten, but then Southern Cal would come out, and, man, it was just, boo, the horse and the whole damn deal. It was great. You never been there, have you?
I've never been there, no.
God, it's gorgeous.
No.
It's a great football stadium. It's
Unfortunately,
the design of it.
Being from here, there's no reason to go
the
there.
The design of it.
Yeah.
Somehow it holds 100,000 people, and yet you got a better view of what's going on from the press box, which is at the top of the stadium, than, for instance, at the Ziggy Dome in the press box. Hmm. You feel much closer to it. It's an amazing structure of design. I don't know who it was, some brilliant guy. I think the thing's 1920s or something.
Yep, because the Coliseum's from when? Coliseum was built initially in
the 32 Olympics.
Okay.
1932.
Because that was Olympics. A pit, right?
Yes.
The Coliseum was
it. But it was, Southern Cal still plays there, too.
I know.
You know, they have these two enormously big stadiums, and, Southern Cal, I don't think they fill it up very much anymore. But,
Notre
Dame's good.
Pro team in town for a long time.
Oh, God, yes. Yeah.
The Rams left, Raiders left.
They always had the running back, that's for sure.
Yes.
OJ was here, 68.
I know.
Was it 68? Year one, the Heisman, he was there.
Yeah.
They gave him a pretty good game, 29-20, I think. OJ, I remember John Rowe, I looked it up, John Rowe's lead was, he came, he saw, he conquered. And that was he had been a really good junior, but he was a JC transfer, He only played 2 years of college. OJ, What happened to him? I can't remember.
He
was in the movies. I remember him being in the movies.
Naked Gun. He was great.
Yeah, he was. Nordberg.
Nordberg and the Naked Gun. Towering Inferno. He was in Towering Inferno.
That was part of the great joke of that. A black guy named Nordberg was kind of the there. Speaking of, hockey players who never, there was no prank.
Right.
Juvenile enough. There was no joke juvenile enough in Naked Gun movies, was there? They were all.
Yeah, and you wouldn't get away with a lot of them now.
No.
They wouldn't be looked upon kindly now.
No, you wouldn't. That's for sure. So, anyhow, yeah, it's unbelievable. What the hell? My interest in college football is waning. The college football 4-team playoffs have not helped create interest in college football. It's lessened interest in college football.
Too many blowouts.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
And the same 4 teams. Yeah. Four of the same 8 teams,
Yep.
Yeah. Somebody said that, they got to get to the 8-team playoffs. Yeah, then you can have 3 ass kickings instead of 2 in the semis, right? You might have 1 good game in the quarterfinals, right?
The genius in its entire thing, Pat, is the National Football League has gotten themselves probably the best feeder system in all of sports.
Okay.
For
free.
With no expenditure.
For free.
With no expenditure.
Now they got ESPN and Fox. Colleges don't even have to ask them for any money anymore.
The NFL's incredible.
The college, like the Mountain West, there's 60, I don't know, we're probably up to how many Power 5? I think there's 65. 65 that were Power 5. The non-Power 5s, the Mountain West and all those, they're going to have to start charging the NFL to come in to look at any
of their colleges
players. Yeah, to look at any of our players. You can't come in. You can't. We won't. You can't. We're going to sue you for copyright infringement if you look at tapes of our game. It's amazing how they get away with it. They don't get away.
They get away with everything.
Yeah, everybody rips baseball voters for being cheap. They're paying for their development. The Twins spend more on travel of minor leaguers than these guys do, than these guys do for all of their college football donations. Why don't they give them they don't have to anymore, not for football, but isn't it amazing, though? 6, 7, 8 years ago, concussions. The NFL was in trouble. Football in general was in trouble. Football in general is still in trouble in the suburbs,
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
But it's bigger than it's ever been and is more dominant than it's ever been in history.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only thing that anybody gives a damn about consistently, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this is just going to make it bigger.
Oh, yeah.
And they also get away with, how the hell do they get away with, you can't go in until after your junior year? How do they get away with that? The NBA can't.
Right.
The NBA's gone to court to
no one else
have
tries.
One and done.
No one else tries.
No. Baseball wants to sign the kid.
Yep.
But why? How do they get away with it? Why doesn't somebody sue them?
Well, I think they've tried. Yeah. I think back in the day, I think Maurice Claret sued him, and I think he lost.
Well, somebody else should. There should be a class action.
Yeah.
Why should, you know, some dummy have to pretend like he's going to
what they
college?
Say is you can't, you know, at that age, you'll get killed because this is a man's league. That's what the excuse is.
Yeah, right.
But they want you to go to college. It's a perfect scam.
Yes.
They want you to go play in college where you will develop for them, be developed, and then they get you.
Yeah, I mean, even the NBA spends some money on, I mean, that league doesn't do them any good. They don't get any players out of there, but.
Right, but it's a feeder.
But the NBA is, you know, they're supporting all these leagues and the things. I don't know how they get away with it. It's pure profit.
Mm-hmm.
The NFL is pure profit. Ziggy, we hate the poll ads because they're cheap, but we love Ziggy. Ziggy's making $200 million a year minimum, and when they get the new TV contracts, it'll be $400 million a year.
Poll ads are in the wrong business.
They are.
That's their problem.
Well, you know, Carl first appeared in the news trying to buy the Philadelphia Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first time I ever saw his name, and it was so long ago that it was on a teletype machine, the AP Wire teletype machine. And it was the guy, the gambler, was made to, Leonard Tost, was made to sell the Eagles. And and who bought it? Jerry Walt? Who bought it? Jerry Walt?
It's not the guy that owns it now, right?
No, God, they've been a couple owners since then.
All right.
But, and it said, Minneapolis businessman Carl Poland and somebody else were among the bidders. And I said, anybody here ever hear of Carl Poland? Who, you know, we were a bunch of sports writers. We never read the business pages or anything. This has got to be the late 70s, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Never saw his name in print before that day and saying, who the hell's this guy? Anybody hear about, you know, anybody?
Bought the wrong team.
I was on the desk that night. I said, slot that night. I said, who is this guy? Are you sure he's from here? You know, it was, never read the business pages. So anyhow, that's, it is an astounding development, to say the least. But, hey, the good news is get your tickets now for that Eastern Illinois game, right? I think we got Eastern Illinois coming, right?
Yeah, well, we got Kills coming in.
Poor Jerry.
And he's gonna get waxed.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another assistant from Flagstaff, right? There's somebody else coming in, too. I forget who it is, though. But, yeah, Jerry's coming in.
Right? Yeah.
Swore he'd never step foot on the campus again. Mm-hmm. Now he's going to have to.
Eastern Illinois. Home of Tony Romo and Brad Childress.
Brad Childress.
Yep. So I think it's Eastern Illinois. That's one of the when are we going to stop doing? Now that we have a 16-team league, can we stop playing these games? The one thing is they're not going to, weren't they going to go, the
PJ
idea.
Won't like that.
Wasn't the idea, the idea was they're going to go back to 8 conference games and play 4. That was like a year ago. They were going to play 8 conference games and then they were going to have the unity with the other leagues.
The unity's out the window.
Yeah, I think they probably will end up playing 10 conference games and 2 non-conference games.
So they open with New Mexico State. No, it's Western Illinois the next week.
Okay.
So it's Kill and New Mexico State, Western Illinois, and then Colorado before they start the Big Ten.
Boy, I hope we do well against Western Illinois. We decided Bowling Green was too tough, huh? We're not playing them.
They scared us.
We're not playing
them.
Yeah.
Hey, so the Twins.
Yes.
as we talked about with Phil and Declan as well, how do you figure that a team that's in first place that actually has a likable collection of players for the most part can cause us so much damn angst?
I don't know. Last night, my wife came downstairs at 10:15 and said, "Who are you screaming at?" to me. And I said, "I'm screaming at them for having Johan Duran throw breaking balls. That's why I'm screaming."
Uh-huh.
And she said, she turned around and walked back up the steps, not being aware of what how that could upset me so much. Just, and I really don't care, but I was hoping deep in my heart that they urinated it away because of how stupid they were. And yet, it was a great win, you know, because it was a hell of a top of the 10th.
8-5 triple play.
Yeah, 8-5 triple play. Kirilov gets a big hit. Rise gets three more hits. It's we talked about it today. They're just, you know, they're when the A team plays, which isn't, you know, that's 70% of it. It's 65% of the time.
That's probably,
when the A team plays,
right.
When the A team plays, they're good. You know, they're good. They're not really. They're mediocre at catching. Sanchez is he's not hitting that much either. He's a mediocre catcher. Jeffers is okay, but can't hit. So they're mediocre at catching. But the rest of the lineup's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Kepler's God. The way they handle their pitching just drives me crazy. And then not only the way they handle it, the way they approach it.
Yes.
The way they approach it. Yes, they have Griffin Jacks. Okay. Let me go back to Jeff. Griffin Jacks cruises through the first inning, the sixth, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, the seventh, because he pitched the seventh and the eighth, right?
Yes.
Griffin Jacks.
You're right.
And seventh was eight pitches, right?
That sounds right, yeah.
So now Griffin Jacks is out there, and here's Abreu. And the count's 1-2. And yeah. he just took a half-ass swing at a high fastball. Now, Abreu's a great hitter, and he's probably maybe not going to chase. But you have to throw him a high fastball and hope he chases it, or hope that he takes a, you know, you're ahead of him in a count, throw him a high fastball, and he's not going to get on top of it. And, you know, you can get a pop-up or a strikeout. That's your best chance to strike him out right there. They throw two breaking balls that one hits him that they don't give him first. The other, they both miss by 3 feet. And then you hang him one, and he hits the double.
Mm-hmm.
I'm screaming, throw the fastball! I can imagine, I'd like to watch the game with Tom Kelly, because Tom Kelly was, you know, fastball 70% of the time,
sure.
You know, don't, you know, make them chase the fastball, make them, you know, so they're doing it. So they've already irritated me with Jacks, you know, because they didn't try to strike out Abreu. They we're going to fool them.
Right.
You got him on the ropes. He's a great hitter, but you got him on the ropes. Throw him a high fastball. Let him chase it.
I can see why your wife came downstairs.
Throw it another. No, this wasn't even when I was screaming.
Oh, you
this
weren't screaming. Okay.
This was suppressed.
Okay, you
this
were.
This was suppressed
you
rage.
Were keeping it in.
This was suppressed rage.
That's not healthy, by the way.
This was under the breath. Throw the basketball, you know. Then, now Duran comes in. I said this to you guys today. He comes in, and who they got? Who's hitting? The first guy he faced. Tell me. Three pitches.
Yeah.
Three pitches. Three.
Pollock?
Huh?
Was it Pollock?
Pollock was the next pitcher. Hitter.
Third baseman?
Was it Moncada?
I thought it was Moncada.
Three fastballs. Yeah. 100, 100, 101. Perfectly placed.
Uh-huh.
Inner eighth. On the inner eighth. He's absolutely in the groove throwing 100 and 101, and here comes Pollock, and you start throwing him breaking balls. And you end up throwing him four breaking balls, and he ends up getting a hit to right field. Make him hit the fastball! Make him, tell Duran to throw the same 100-mile-an-hour fastball he just did in the same place while he's in this groove. But you got to start fooling him, because somewhere in the scouting report at 1:30 in the afternoon, it said, don't throw fastballs to Pollock. So then you start getting clever, and you get clever enough to get the tying run to the plate, right? That's how clever they got. Mm-hmm. So now they made, I will admit, they made Tim Anderson look like an idiot but that was Tim Anderson's fault that they got him out with those breaking pitches. He chased bad. None of those pitches were strikes. And they probably didn't want him to be strikes. Figured he'd chase them. So that was okay. But by then, I'm just saying, when you come out and see God throw 100, 100, 101 in perfect location, why change? Why change? This is what I was saying in the den last
sound
night.
Like Nancy Kerrigan.
Why me?
Why me?
Why me?
This was in the den last night with numerous adjectives.
Okay.
Why change you?
This sounds like a live stream. Watch Royce. Watch a Twins game.
Well, normally I'm not that, but this is a game that the way they played the top of the 10th inning and the way they pulled off the stupid triple play, the White Sox richly deserved to get beat, I just thought, hey, they've done so many good things tonight, and now you're going to fool them. Now you got a guy throwing 100.
Yeah, that's why they drive you crazy.
You got a guy throwing 100, and we're going to fool them. We're going to outsmart them.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know.
But again, that's on the coaching staff and Rocco. That drives you crazy.
That's on the 1:30 in the afternoon.
Right.
Sticking with this is our game plan. Dylan Bundy. We're not going to let Dylan Bundy face him the third time. Okay. He's thrown 58 pitches in 5 innings. We're still not going to let him face him the third time. So then come Wednesday, we can bitch about having Warren on our bullpen.
That's a Gardy thing, too.
I had to use my whole bullpen. You might have only had to use one of your bullpen if you hadn't gone with something that was decided at 1:30 in the afternoon.
You feel better now?
Maybe Wes Johnson.
It's no longer suppressed, by the way.
Maybe Wes Johnson got fired because maybe he was really fired for wanting to keep up. Maybe he decided, let's let him pitch another inning.
Rocco, this is BS.
Yes, yeah.
Bang, he's gone.
Yeah, he's right. That could have been. I don't know. It was funny. It was like I felt like I was a kid swearing at somebody I felt like I was a kid swearing at Bob Allison for getting thrown out of second base in 1967 when they were trying to win 1-2 in Boston when Yaz threw him out by 20 feet in the decisive game.
Mm-hmm.
Or whoever else I used to complain about back then because it was kind of funny because she took it as the. The wife took it as though I was screaming at her.
Right? No,
I was in I was 2 levels away from you. If I wanted to scream at you, honey, I would have come up the steps, so you could hear it. So, not that I would have. The explanation was she confused her.
Felt like she just left then.
Yeah, the confused.
She walked away. That's a best case scenario.
The
to
explanation.
Be honest.
I haven't done that in a long time, but it was. I just felt like, what the heck? Because I'd already was upset at how breaking ball crazy they were, right?
Right.
And then I saw that. Oh, God. Unbelievable. But anyway. Boy, I like Kirilloff. That kid can hit.
Yep. Yep. Made a hell of a play at first base last night.
Yep, he did.
He belongs there.
Yeah, he does. Hopefully he doesn't get the house. He is a left field hitter. I mean, he's kind of Mauer-like. But he's, right. He's not a – he doesn't hit the ball. It doesn't carry. He doesn't get the carry. He doesn't get the right spin on it. But he's line – that's all right. I can take a line drive.
I was going to say, I'll take the line drives.
No, it's amazing about Arraez, the number of times he's the power he's showing this year. Mm-hmm. I mean, not a lots of home run, but a lot of deep –
doubles.
Hit the ball over the center field head twice yesterday, even when they played him a little bit deeper. So,
man, is he fun to watch?
Oh, God.
Just, I love his at-bats. I love the at-bats.
They got to give him 4 years here pretty quick, don't they?
Yeah.
Get it done before, I don't know who he's aging.
But he's got that whole approach that's fun, you know?
Yeah.
It's not this trying to get
The world is a better place when you're not afraid of two strikes.
Yeah.
When you're not, you know, I mean, that Maurer obviously was example A of that. But this guy, I think, actually, you know, is Joe and then something with two strikes, you know.
Yeah, I think he likes two strikes.
Yeah, I mean, he just doesn't bother him. And there's every stat in the world shows you that it's 100-point difference when you get to two strikes. So, yeah, that's why it's frustrating to see the way they use their pitching when you're the other one I was saying, like, you know, God almighty, they kept the same relief pitchers for 3 days. It was a miracle. And then they had to release Manaea. God, I hope he gets claimed. I hope he gets claimed of somebody, you know. You gotta,
just to stick it to him?
You got to pay for your sins here pretty soon, right? You know, you got to just, I don't know. Yeah, I have never been this down on a first-place Twins team.
I was going to say, yeah, they're actually in great shape. They rebounded after that disaster in Cleveland, won 2-3 against Baltimore, won last night.
But Baltimore, I mean, they richly deserved a sweep. You know, they
were bullpen blew up in those games.
Yeah, well,
that reliever was great, or had been great.
Yeah. Oh, God. That was a guy who was a starter for him, and he had like a 6 ERA a couple of years ago. I'm watching him. I said, this guy's got great. What? How can he be rotten? And I think if you can check my Twitter account, I was saying, this guy's good. How could he? But he gets to the fifth inning, goes to hell. And they finally made a reliever out of him. And I think the one to Buxton was explainable, but the other one was, oof, where's this coming from? So.
Polanco home run?
Yeah.
That was
Polanco
to straightaway.
God, that ball had carry on.
Yeah, it really did.
I didn't think he hit it that good, but I wasn't there, so I don't know. Anyhow.
All right.
Let's see. We've covered the old St. Paul newsroom.
Yep.
We've covered
the North Star's second coach.
I've been the North Star's second coach.
Big Ten.
I got to ask you, if Fiala, you're okay. Why do I have this impression they're going to trade Dumba, too?
Interesting.
I think this guy likes having cap space, and he's got to get a center.
Certainly,
Francois Goudreau can't be your second center, right?
Freddie, no. He can be, but so Rossi is expected to be good.
Okay,
he's going to play next year. The Dumba thing, I can't decide if Guerin's talking him up because of the fact that he wants to maximize his potential value, or if he really does like him. But they have a ton of defensemen, and they're getting more and more and more. So
when are we? When is the draft this weekend?
Thursday and Friday.
Thursday, Friday,
not Friday.
Two
Saturday.
Number ones, right?
Yeah. Yep. Two first rounds.
And
then free agencies.
I hate to put the pressure on Bob Motzkow, but if he doesn't win the national title next year, there's something wrong.
You're going to bring down the gauntlet already.
They got so damn much talent; it's unbelievable. Everybody that mattered except. Ben Myers came back, and he was already a fifth-year senior, wasn't he? Or fourth-year senior, right? COVID year.
Yep.
And they got
Faber.
Faber's back. However that's pronounced.
Yeah,
he's great.
Really surprised he came back.
I did too. God,
he's a Maple Leafs draft pick.
Oh, yeah. I was shocked. They all came back, and now they got two of the Snuggies kid and the other kid. Snuggies kid isn't going to be... top 10 in the draft, and he's not their number one guy, this Cooley guy.
Yeah, and he's going to be drafted like third, right?
And plus, they got rid of the Lucius kid, which went to Wisconsin. That saved some headaches.
So you're putting the pressure on Motzko.
Yeah, I love him. I love him dearly. But
you love him, but he's out if he doesn't win a national championship?
Well, I don't know. It's not as bad as some of the years when you got to be at the Frozen Four, for sure, with this talent. That's for sure.
Yeah, one would hope
so. Unless, you know, somebody can get hurt or anyway, it's amazing what a good job he's done there. And you know, without paranoia. That's a great thing.
He's a coach, but he's not totally paranoid.
He didn't get turned into a fruitcake like Don did at the end. So
Yeah, Don, well, there was a lot of pressure there on Don at the end.
Oh, yes.
Those guys at the end, Wooger was that like
Wooger was Wooger's the greatest guy of all time. The last 4 years, Wooger was like twitchy. Twitchy, man.
That job must suck.
But the same pressure doesn't exist. You know,
right.
I mean, the Gopher hockey is not, we got to go to the Frozen Four, you are a bum, you know. That doesn't exist.
Well, and Wooger got all those, as I remember at the end, all those big teams on that big ice and it didn't work.
Yeah.
By the way, the ice is being changed in a couple
ice, right?
Yeah, we're going to
this
a hybrid
year or
ice.
Next
no.
Year.
Next summer, I think they're going to change it.
Mm-hmm.
Capital improvements. I wonder where that cash is coming from.
Oh, yeah, right.
Thank you, football.
We can now pay off the $170 million building.
They can bring back your sports as well if they want.
Yeah, right. You know, it's just the silliness of getting rid of them. I have not been to a lot of men's gymnastics in my career. I think one. So.
All right,
those guys make me nervous. Skinny little guys, you know, skinny.
Well,
little.
Stay away from me.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, look at Declan.
He could be a gymnast.
Yeah, he could.
I did a little bit actually.
Okay. All right.
Yep.
Okay. Let's before we go too far. Let's be done.
Okay.